the Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, how are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Simon. Good, oh. And yourself. Very happy to hear that Keir Starmer is cleaning house.
He certainly is doing a bit of house cleaning. Unfortunately, in the British Labour Party, it seems like there's continual housekeeping to do. But talking about politics, who's been tapped to form a government or not?
Well, this we're going to know in a few minutes, but we have had frank meetings between Tali Bennett and President Rivlin, as well as Yair Lapid and President Rivlin today. About 6 minutes before midnight last night, Prime Minister Netanyahu handed back the mandate to form government to President Rivlin because he just hasn't been able to do that. So the president is expected to announce at 6:30 who will be able to do that. But we've had some rhetoric, and what is interesting, Simon and listeners, of course, because we're also talking to the listeners here, is that both Bennett and Lapid advocate a unity government. So we have had some recriminations from the Likud faction today blaming Naftali Bennett for the failure of Netanyahu to form a government. And, you know, some are saying it's quite ironic that Naftali Bennett, who infamously clashes with the Prime Minister, now basically could hold the future of the country in hand. But just moments ago on national television addressing a press conference.
Yeah, this is really crucial stuff that we're talking, Rolien. I'm just trying to understand myself, why is Bennett, who is considered even more right than Netanyahu, not comfortable to form a coalition with him?
Well, this is interesting. You know, he blames Netanyahu basically for the situation that we find ourselves in. And I think we've seen to a large degree the battle of the big ego politicians. And it never fails to astound me that with all his bravado and with all the support that he does seem to have, Bennett cannot perform at the polls, which is where it counts. But he's not the only one to advocate for a unity government today. Yair Lapid is another one who has said the time has come for a unity government. We need to break this never-ending cycle. And Naftali Bennett went as far as to try and appeal to both the right and the left to say, you know, we can't keep going through this. We have to sit together. We have to move forward for the betterment of this country. And it's going to be interesting to see, because we haven't heard from Ra'am where they sit on this. They said that they are not going to say which candidate they support for Prime Minister. But we have heard from the Joint List. The Joint List have advocated for Yair Lapid that he should be kept to form a government. So we will know within the next couple of minutes who is going to be kept. It is likely to be Lapid, but we'll only know that when the president speaks.
Rolien, don't you find it absolutely remarkable that Bibi Netanyahu has managed to keep party discipline to the extent that he has? I mean, surely the Likud members should be defecting by now, surely.
Well, I think we also have to make a distinction between Netanyahu, the man, and Likud, the faction. And I know for some people they find that very difficult to do, because they see that Netanyahu is Likud and Likud is Netanyahu. And I don't think that fits well with a lot of members of the Likud. I think that many of them are looking at this, looking at the possibility of Netanyahu being ousted as Prime Minister, and thinking to themselves, maybe do I have an opportunity now to ascend within the ranks of Likud. You know, the Prime Minister, and if we look at him in terms of his role as chairman of the Likud faction, he is not known to promote succession. Succession planning is not something very high on his list of priorities, which is why we see people like Gideon Saar and other members of the Likud be set because of this. And that he's come out in the past to basically torpedo anybody's career within the faction that wants to rise to the ultimate leadership position. So I think many of them, you've got the absolute Netanyahu hardliners within the faction, and then you've got those who I think are more concerned with the future of the party, seeing that it can perform at the polls, it can get those votes, and maybe this is an opportunity for them to clean 100%. House within their ranks and to move towards succession planning.
Okay, fascinating. An issue that I have not followed to the extent I would have liked is this issue of evictions in Sheikh Jarrah, the neighborhood in East Jerusalem. Maybe set the scene for us and explain to us why Hamas is threatening action over these evictions.
It's a very, very contentious issue. There are certain properties within the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood, which is a part of East Jerusalem, which, depending on which side you're looking at, some say that Palestinian families are being evicted to make way for more right-wing Jews. Right-wing Jews and elements of the government are saying that, you know, the families don't have permits or have sold their property. Now, you know, the penalty for selling your property to a Jew is imprisonment, or in some very, very extreme cases, you could find yourself eliminated, and especially by a terror faction like Hamas. So there have been protests in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. This is for a couple of weeks now, where there have been clashes, and last night clashes got to a head. 10 people were injured, 2 people were arrested. And Hamas, who I think are trying to flex their muscles in East Jerusalem and the West Bank, especially now that Abbas has basically suspended elections, have said that they will call for revenge on anybody who is evicting Palestinians.
And once again, I'm reading into that. That's electioneering. That's Fatah and Hamas politics playing out at the cost of Israel.
Well, there's definitely an element of that, and there's also the element of dealing with a terror organization last summer who really don't need much motivation for them to carry out violent acts.
And then finally, Rolene, for this afternoon, Israeli NGO dispatching aid to India. Tell us about that.
Well, it's not just an NGO. It's our government also have officially dispatched the plane load of aid to India. This is India that's been struck terribly with COVID. We've sent our first plane, the first of several that will be going to India to dispense with aid, but also Israeli NGO, and they really are phenomenal. Israel Aid, really the pride of this country, and I think of people around the world. They're on the ground. They're already out in parts of India helping with oxygen, helping with testing, helping with basic medical needs that is needed at this time. And I know there was a global concert calling for vaccines, and especially to India the other day, but we're seeing countries really mobilizing, Israel being one of them, making sure that our great ally in Asia, India, is receiving all the help that we can possibly give them.
Rolene, in the minute that's remaining, we don't have any time. In the 30 seconds that's remaining, I'm going to throw one at you that we hadn't spoken about at all. A story that snuck under the headlines during last week, an LL plane escorted by Greek fighter pilots over Greece due to an alleged bomb. Was there anything to that story, or was that a fake news?
It's not fake news. It did happen. The people on board the LL flight from Greece back to Israel weren't aware of the jets. I know I would have stuck my head to the window to see as much as I could possibly see. But thank goodness that we were able to be escorted to safety.
Rolene Marks, as always, thank you. Thank you so very much. Despite our technical issues today, there was great input, and we will do it again tomorrow.
Absolutely.